morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is, wherever you are. Thanks for joining the Ramble Room. We are here. It's you know, everybody's here. It's me, Sarah, and it's Joseph, and it's Diane, and it's Ken. But the boys have to be quiet today because we're talking about education, and Diane and I get a little heated when
and
we talk about
we're
education.
We're not educated. Speak for yourself.
We're educated. I just want you to be quiet.
The part of education is we can't get a word in edgewise.
That's right.
At least you were warned ahead
thing?
Of time.
Push the button. Now that that's out of the way,
yeah, that was cringe. That was cringeworthy.
I'm going to turn things over to Diane. There is a new House bill out there that is actually getting a lot of support from some of the conservative people that we support, and we don't support their supporting this.
Right. Or wrong?
Wait.
Okay.
We know that they know that we know that we've read it.
That they don't know.
Well, Diane read it. So tell us what it says, and I'll shut up.
All right. So I think last night I saw a post about a petition that one of the representatives wanted everybody to sign to make sure that this bill, House Bill 0106, was supported. And it is called Wyoming Education Options Act. And so I went and looked at the Wyoming Education Options Act because it sounded a little bit funny to me, but maybe I'm the only one.
No, there's two of us.
Okay.
Tiggers.
That's impossible. But then there's no wonderful thing about Tigger.
What if Tigger had a child?
Because there's two of them.
But who do you have the child with?
Right, that's what I was going to ask, yeah. But I was trying to think of a delicate way to say it.
No, no delicacy here.
Okay.
We know Eeyore is out.
How did this happen? Not a lot of bounce in there. Anyway.
Well, you wouldn't want two bouncers, because then the... You know, yeah.
Okay.
We need a bouncer.
I had a chat today with several people talking about this on Facebook, and the general take of one of the representatives and even a couple of the homeschoolers was, this is not a big deal to us. There's no problem here. And I want to start out with talking about the compulsory attendance part of the Wyoming statutes, because that's about the only place where homeschooling is mentioned. About 35-ish years ago, we had left the state, but some of my friends were still here, and they spent a lot of time fighting for the rights and independence of homeschoolers to just be left alone.
Not literally fighting. We can't condone violence.
I wasn't
figuratively
here.
Figuratively and legislatively,
okay.
Fighting.
Okay, I wasn't here, so I can't swear to that, but I
One
believe...
One must be very cautious these days.
Yes.
I believe that the lack of much regulation is because of them, and that it's been like that all this time. So underneath, in the Wyoming statutes, the Compulsory Attendance Act 21-4-101, subsection, I don't know how you read all these things, A3, private school is any non-public elementary or secondary school providing a basic academic educational program for children and may include parochial and church or religious schools and home-based educational programs. There's a section on parochial schools, and then there's the section that starts out, a home-based educational program means a program of educational instruction provided to a child by the child's parent or legal guardian or by a person designated by the parent or legal guardian. An instructional program provided to more than one family unit does not constitute a home-based educational program. So if I wanted to have a school in my house, I'm no longer homeschooling or helping homeschool someone else's children. That makes sense. Basic academic educational program is one that provides a sequentially progressive curriculum of fundamental instruction in reading, writing, mathematics, civics, history, literature, and science. These curriculum requirements do not require any private school or home-based educational program to include in its curriculum any concept, topic, or practice in conflict with its religious doctrines, or to exclude from its curriculum any concept, topic, or practice consistent with its religious doctrines. So this is where we find out exactly what it is that homeschoolers have to report to the school district when they say we're going to homeschool. They have to fill out an intent to homeschool with the names of their kids and what they're planning to do for these seven basic subjects. And that's it. You send it into the school district. They go, oh, there's another one. They don't have to like what you're doing. It's not up to them to approve it. You just have to have said, look, I thought about this and here's my plan. Mm-hmm. There's also no provision for them, anyone checking on you. Let's see. There's also another section down here that says a home-based educational program shall meet the requirements of a basic academic educational program pursuant to WS 21-4-101A. It shall be the responsibility of every person administering a home-based educational program to submit a curriculum to the local board of trustees each year showing that the program complies with the requirements of this subsection. Failure to submit a curriculum showing compliance is prima facie evidence that the home-based education program does not meet the requirements of this article. So all you had to do was submit that piece of paper saying, I'm homeschooling, and here's what I'm going to use to cover those subjects.
But just to explain that a little bit more, a lot of other states will require more checking. They'll require you to test your students every so often to make sure that they're keeping up to the public school standards. Let's use that term loosely. But yeah, I've done this letter, 4 years in a row now? Something like that? Maybe not, because we don't have to really start doing things legally until they're seven.
Yes.
But it's literally like I printed something off of the internet and copied and pasted my children's names, ages, and just said, here's basically what we're doing. You send it certified mail. They send you back a letter that says we've received it. Your kids are good to go, I guess. And that's it. Wyoming is really, really, really hands-off as far as homeschooling goes so far, which is why this whole thing, I'm interested to hear what you have to say, because this whole thing makes me very nervous that we're adding any layers on top of that.
Right, because one of the things about that is that when you have people come on the homeschool sites and on Facebook or wherever it is that you hear people going, what do I have to do if I want to homeschool? Where's the paperwork? And you say, all you have to do is do these things. If you ask the school for a form, it's got more stuff on there than we are required to give. So, why am I suspicious that no matter what this new bill says, the school is going to push for more?
Right.
The House Bill HB 10106, Wyoming Education Options Act, what I'm hearing from the supporters is that this is a way for people who want their kids to go to private school or have alternative education choices besides public school can get some of their tax money back that they're just paying by default to the school so that they can afford to pay for private school or homeschooling or whatever else they want to do. So I'll just go through this because I'll tell you the points and then I'll tell you my arguments, because what I'm getting is, oh, there's nothing to worry about. And a lot of it does sound pretty decent. In the first section, as used in this section, private school means education provided in person or by virtual or correspondence methods and includes any non-public school providing a basic academic educational program for a resident child in any grade of kindergarten through grade 12. Private school may include parochial, church, or religious schools or education provided by a parent, guardian, tutor, or instructor in the home of the student, in the home of another student, or in another agreed-upon location through a cooperative arrangement with another parent or guardian. And I went ahead and read all that so that you'll see that they're talking about the same group of people we were talking about before, including homeschoolers. So the next section says, the Board of Trustees in every school district in the state shall, in consideration of the cost savings to the district, and upon a request submitted pursuant to this section, reimburse parents or guardians for the educational expense of any student who's a resident, blah, blah, blah. That part, in consideration of the cost savings to the district. So when one of the immediate arguments is, oh my gosh, where is the school going to get the money to pay these people back? Or what are you going to do about the shortfall that we have, this horrible hundreds of millions of dollars of shortfall for education? We're saving you money.
Right.
That's why that's the justification of this bill.
You don't have to buy any of my kids a Chromebook.
Right. But then, the parent or guardian of a student attending private school may request reimbursement for educational expenses on a quarterly basis from the school district in which the student resides, including documented expenses for tutoring, tuition, fees, curriculum, supplemental materials, and activities. The cumulative amount of reimbursement for a school year under this section shall be lesser of the actual educational expenses of or 50% of the per student amount received by the school district from the school foundation program under W blah, 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 blah.
Well, I dare anyone teaching at home to try to spend as much money as they spend per student on one student's education.
$17,000 a year.
So
that just blows my mind.
I know.
For a student.
I promise I will have it at a fraction
Not
of that.
Not even a good student, yeah. Usually.
Right. No. Well, if they're anything like me, you're just throwing your money away.
Okay, but so let's just say that for the number purposes, we're talking about people who want to send their kids to a private school. That's a hefty chunk to pay for tuition for private schools in this area anyway. There are others that would be more, but okay, so you get back half of your $17,000, up to half, so the school still gets half of that $17,000. You can only get half of that. So again, we saved you money by not being in your classroom. We don't need to pay a teacher for my kid. They still get half of that $17,000. You cannot get all of it. Mm-hmm. And right, when I was homeschooling, I probably never even spent $1,000 a year on homeschooling. Now
I haven't yet.
Yeah. A lot of people buy curriculum, full sets of curriculum for all their kids, and it would cost a lot more than that, but it's still not going to be $7,000 or $8,000. So maybe if you were one of those curriculum buyers, you could spend most of that. But here's another part. The Department of Education shall prescribe a form and shall adopt rules for requesting reimbursement that a school district shall use for purposes in this section. So who gets to set up the program?
Mm-hmm.
The school district. Here's your paperwork. Here's how you apply for this money back.
That's really vague, too. We get to make some rules.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So by the time this is voted on, how many rules are you going to have wedged in there?
Right. It's kind of worrisome because look how the school district has already ran.
Right.
And then they're going to bring that into your home.
Making my point for me, Joe.
You have a school system that's way top heavy on administrators and bee watchers, if you will. What this bill appears to be doing at this point is creating yet one more tier of the same.
Right.
That's why they have to keep at least half of that money because they got to give something to pay for this.
Right, so they have to set up an entire different section of the administration and pay people just to get into your lives.
Which is why we're homeschooling in the first place.
We don't want the government, the school district, and everything else coming in and telling us how to raise our children.
They're not going to do that.
Right.
This is just
yeah,
a really
I'm starting
nice
to sound
way.
Like one of those weird guys. It's like, oh, well, they're going to come for my guns.
What do you mean starting to sound
crazy
like
person? Okay, so the rest of the... Okay, the Department of Education shall prescribe a form, yay, another form, mm-hmm. and shall adopt rules, yay, more rules, for requesting reimbursement. Based on reports provided to the department under subsection F of this section, the department may establish and maintain a database of expenses previously approved by
yay,
districts...
database.
...for reimbursement under this section. So the bill does go on to say all the right things about how none of the... data that they accumulate is going to be personally identifiable.
Mm.
Right. Mm-hmm. But who has your receipts?
Right.
Who has your records of expenses that they paid you for?
Yeah, your name is on those receipts. Your bank account number is on that receipt.
Yeah. So legally, they're not allowed to do anything with that or distribute that, but you have had to expose your homeschool life to them.
Right. Am I understanding that it has to be approved curriculum? Like through the school district?
No.
Not yet.
Right, but they could easily step up and say, okay, there's no more, you can't teach Christianity or creationism in your your home.
That would never happen.
Or you also have to teach universally accepting anyone of any sex, gender, attitude, deviation.
Ginger studies.
Ginger studies.
Yeah. Yeah.
I study them and they frighten me.
Look, this ginger snaps. Oh.
Okay. It is specifically stated that no parent or guardian shall be required to use any curriculum used by the school district. So next section shall include an itemized list of expenses on a form as specified by the department, including receipts or other proof of expenses as required by rule of the department, by the rules that they just got to make up, okay? May include fees paid under another section, which just has to do with paying activity fees, which is fair if you're going to say, I don't like your school and I'm not going to send my kids there. Oh, but could we be on your sports team? Yeah, if you pay this fee. Well,
no,
okay.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know any homeschoolers that bothers.
It shouldn't. That's totally fair. A couple more sections down. They shall certify compliance with the requirements of WS 21-4-102B. A curriculum submitted by a parent or guardian shall be presumed to meet the requirements of a basic academic educational program unless demonstrated otherwise by the school district.
Okay. Mm. So what does that mean? This school district, who now has the ability to track all my stuff, create a database, approve or disapprove.
Make forms and rules.
Right. And so now they can look at my Exploring Creation Science curriculum and say, it starts with them saying, we're not going to reimburse you for that because that doesn't follow whatever rules and guidelines we made up. And then it trickles down into, we're going to supply you with something else instead.
What are you, some kind of conspiracy theorist?
Yes, because okay. I was homeschooled.
Let me make sure that we've made the point that this is totally voluntary.
Right.
This is only if you would like some of your money back.
Right.
You apply for this. If you don't, in theory, you're left alone. What's the word? For the school to deign to give you some of your tax money back.
Right.
Then you're going to have to submit to a few reforms and regulations. So the schools will certify compliance with the requirements of WS 21-4-102, which is only... That's the section that I read that said you're going to turn in your curriculum.
Right.
So according to that, there's nothing they can do. And then, but shall certify compliance. Right. I don't like those words.
Which,
you
let's
will
just
turn
reiterate.
In your curriculum. It will be certified.
Certified compliance is the only way you will get your check, okay? So just reiterating, as it stands right now in Wyoming, we have to write the letter that says, here's the curriculum that I intend to use. Nobody checks that. Nobody approves or disapproves it. Nobody has come into my home and said, are you actually using Veritas Press for history? Nobody cares. Well, they care, but they're not legally allowed to do anything. Right. When you open the door to have something approved or disapproved, you're opening the door.
And that's all I was trying to say today in some of these discussions is, I see that you mean well.
Right.
But like Ken's always saying, I don't want your camel's nose under my tent. Because the back part of him is huge.
Do I always say that?
You say it often.
You say a lot of things.
I don't know
often.
That you say it every day. But lately, I've heard it a few times, so I didn't want to be...
There's
I didn't
a lot
be...
of nosy camels
it's
lately.
One of his morning affirmations. I am strong, I am smart. And I don't want your camel's nose under my tent.
I just didn't want anybody to think I was stealing that. I heard it from him. Okay. But I think it's a perfect...
I stole it.
I know. I think it's a perfect picture of what we're seeing in this is that you get your camel's nose out from under my tent because the back part of him is huge. Mm-hmm. You must have hated that camel.
He hates
I do.
Camel.
I hate that camel. Okay. So the next part is very comforting. A curriculum submitted by a parent or guardian shall be presumed to meet the requirements of a basic academic or educational program. Oh, whew, thank
goodness.
We're
just going to assume.
Unless demonstrated otherwise by the school district. How are they going to know when they have no legal provision for checking on me?
And do they demonstrate that via a PowerPoint presentation? Because I'm not willing to sign on that dotted line.
Yeah, so it sounds like they are trying to get their foot in the door. To be able to come into your home and tell you what you can and cannot teach.
Yes.
And that's a slippery slope right there. Just that line is terrifying.
But it's for the good of society. We can't have bigots running around there.
But so far, like Diane said, this isn't required. This is only if you want some of your money back. But I know for me, part of the sacrifice of saying I'm going to homeschool is I'm going to eat the cost of textbooks, notebooks, pencils, and believe me, it's much less than $17,000 per student per year.
It's much less than half of that.
But that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make sure that they're getting a good education that is not, you can't even say laced, it's wrapped in socialist agenda.
Like a steak and bacon.
When you say it's not $17,000 a year, are you counting food and nap time? Because blankets are expensive.
I'm one of those weird people that feels like feeding my child should be my responsibility and not the responsibility of a public.
What happened to lunch money? Do they still send kids to school?
Bobby
with lunch
stole
money?
It.
Dang. Bobby steals everybody's lunch money.
Yeah.
Well, which I don't know this, but maybe you can pay. Pay for your lunches online so that there's no lunch money to steal.
I think that people still pay for their lunches.
Some people do. Yeah.
Yeah. So
just put a little chip in their hand.
There's right. any students that any students that are already on like SNAP or WIC or things like that, they can qualify for free school lunches. But any of them that don't, yes, their parents have to pay for their school lunches still.
What is costing $17,000?
Administration.
Because
layers of administration.
Have you seen what the public school system is producing?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
I go out of my house.
Awful.
we're going to get to that, though, because we're going to talk about school choice. We're going to talk about school funding. We're going to talk about some other things that are affecting Wyoming schools specifically.
And here's where you're just showing your ignorance. Don't you know that the reason it's awful is because they need more money?
Oh. Well, I guess that makes some sense. All right.
Now.
I hear them whining about we don't have enough money, all these mineral income and everything has gotten back. And yeah, it's going to put a little bit of a bind on them. But it's almost as if, you know, Tom Brady's got his new yacht.
Yes.
And if something happened to an income stream, maybe he lost a contract and now he couldn't afford caviar for a month on his yacht, to hear him whining about that. To me, it's Wyoming school systems can't deal with having to live within their means.
Right. Well, the state has to have like a rainy day fund just in case something goes bad. Shouldn't a school system be required to stock some money
some of them don't. It just depends on administrations, and there now you've opened up a whole can of worms there. But just in general, Wyoming schools have been extraordinarily well funded forever because of minerals.
Right.
And I think it was Mark Jennings that pointed out that 6-7 years ago we had a baseline income, and in the last 6 years we've raised income for the schools or raised revenue for the schools at 50%. Mm-hmm. That is a whole lot of money over a period of 6 years without inflation, without significant increase in costs in reality. And if you stand out on the street corner and watch the kids, listen to the kids, we ain't getting our money's worth.
No. No.
Well, I am. That's because I took it into my own hands.
Okay, so moving on through the bill, just some of the key phrases. One of the things it says is that, I think this is in the
Are they hooked together with conjunctions?
Of course.
Conjunction, what's your function?
Sorry.
I don't actually know all the words.
Hooking up
I know
words
what they mean.
And phrases and clauses.
I know what a conjunction is, I just don't know the song.
There's only one clause I care about, and Santa is the one.
Santa baby,
oh my goodness.
You're the only clause for me.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the new singing podcast.
Joe, it's your turn.
The musical ramble room.
I do not sing.
Yes, you do.
Party pooper.
We have ways to make this last forever.
Okay, so I'll just mention some phrases that sort of rang some bells for me. I think it's the reports, the applications, whatever, shall include an itemized list of expenses on a form as specified by the department, including receipts. Did I already say that one? Or yes. Other proofs of expenses as required by the rule of the department. Yes, I was at the bottom of this page. I'm sorry. Okay, the last part of that curriculum was no parent or guardian shall be required to use any curriculum used by the school district. That's comforting, but it doesn't cover what can be excluded,
right,
or what can be deemed uncompliant.
You don't have to purchase what we're purchasing for the public school students, but it doesn't say anything about we're not going to tell you what you cannot purchase.
Right.
Which is basically what you just said.
Or keep track of all of your purchases in our database.
Right. You know, this family seems to be going through an awful lot of number two pencils.
What worries me about the school district getting involved in people's personal lives is that the schools nowadays, and maybe much longer than I think, have been indoctrinating people. And so therefore, whenever your entire goal is to indoctrinate somebody, and then you do an outreach to homeschoolers, then where does it end? Pretty soon you're going to have I can't say that word. I'm going to bash genders all day.
Ginger studies is a lot more interesting to me.
That ginger's on
recessive DNA and all that.
Well, okay, so one of the other things, the school district shall provide the applicant, if there was to be some kind of problem with what they submitted, with a written explanation of the reason for denial. If the expense was not properly documented, the school district shall provide an opportunity to resubmit the reimbursement request according to their forms and their rules.
This is what is called a loophole, where they're doing this program so that you can get, they're saying reimbursed, but... Because I don't even think there's any way to track how much of your tax dollars have gone to the school system and so then how much they need or whatever. But this is a program for you to be getting your money back, but it is letting these people into your private decision-making for the education of your children. And it sounds all peachy on the surface because, trust me, I'm a homeschool mom, and the idea of getting paid for what I do or at least reimbursed for the books that I've bought, that sounds really, really nice. Except for the big red flag waving in front of my face that says they have all kinds of loopholes to be tracking and monitoring and approving or disapproving what I do with my kids. And people, that is the entire reason we yanked our kids from the public school system in the first place.
That's what I thought.
Maybe not everybody, but me. That's the reason why I did it.
Well, and
you can keep your filthy money. I don't care.
Which used to be my filthy money until you wrenched it from me with taxes.
Right. Well, I haven't paid in that much.
Don't worry, we've made up the difference.
Yes, the other people in this room have paid more taxes than I have.
And one of my suggestions was, okay, so let's say that the schools have this money that they could part with for people to pay tuition for private schools, and that would help a lot of poor people who wanted their kids to have choices for schools. Fine, let's have a bill that says if you enroll your child in a private school, you will get half of this money back. There you go. That's all we need.
Right.
And then have a different bill that says, oh, by the way, you homeschoolers, here's a percentage that you get for not taking up the resources of the school.
Right.
Because we are getting $17,000 worth of your taxes to pay for your child who's not even there. Here's quarter of that.
Right.
I mean, when I was teaching...
Right, and you don't have to fill out any forms except for...
Right.
I homeschool. And they already have that paperwork.
You send in that piece of paper, said I'm homeschooling. They go, oh, right, yeah, that child is not enrolled in our schools. So obviously they're not taking up our resources. So they get some of their money back, however much it is.
Thank you for saving the state some money.
Right. And we used to set it when I was teaching at a private school. We would think, what could we accomplish if we had a third of what the schools use for each student here? It's just amazing. Okay, so the end of that, Section 2 says, the Department of Education shall adopt rules and forms pursuant to the provisions of the number of this statute as created by Section 1 of this Act no later than July 1st, 2021. So adopt some rules and forms, guys.
Quick.
Up to you.
You have until July.
Mm-hmm.
So just to illustrate this
what
point.
What could go wrong?
Only the government. Don't worry. Just to illustrate this point a little bit, any of you that have had your kids on WIC, which is for some people a wonderful program, it did my family and me many favors when I was a young mom with young little babies. But when you sign up with WIC, you have to consistently go into these appointments where they weigh and measure and check and test your child. They take a blood test from you and your child when you're nursing. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. They poked my finger a couple times to make sure that we were all okay.
No, you're not the crazy one.
Right.
Is this still
but they
your
also,
child?
They give you a certain amount of money for food, but it has to be the kinds of foods that they deem healthy. I was not allowed to purchase whole milk on WIC because it's too fatty, because there's an obesity epidemic in the United States.
Have they ever seen our family?
No, that's what I said in the appointments. Look at me. I think I should use some whole milk.
Yeah, and you
they're
need
like, no, no,
some
no, no,
whole
no.
milk.
That's not healthy. You can buy 2% or skim. They dictate if you buy bread, it has to be whole wheat. You can't buy white bread. It's down to, it was more trouble than it was worth. And I was not on it for very long. But that's just an example of something that's been around for a long time. They're giving you money, which always requires some kind of compliance. And that word sets my teeth on edge. And in the end, it's usually not worth what you're getting back because it's such a pain in the butt. And if you're homeschooling your kids, you don't need more paperwork.
Well, and let me just say something about that, because your experience is bad enough. But we were on WIC for a while when you guys were all babies and we were pretty poor. This was in Colorado, so I can't speak for how it was around here back then. But I think the original program was simply distributing government surplus food to people.
Yes.
Okay, so by the time I was on it, it wasn't quite like that. You had some little coupons that you could use to go buy their prescribed things at the store. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have to do anything except go in there and say, we're really poor and we could use some food. And they said, here you go. If you're that bad off that you would come in here and say that, then you can have some food.
Could you imagine some guy in the government looking at that program and going, we can make this way worse. Why is this so easy?
Probably.
We should destroy it like we did the DMV.
But well, I think the idea was, this is government surplus stuff. Anybody who needs it should be able to have it.
Right.
Oh, wait, not anybody. We're gonna need some information from them to see who these people are and to find out whether they're really poor.
Well, because it's like this was during the, well, it might have been even before that, but like the Michelle Obama era where she's trying to fix school lunches and fat kids and everything. And so they start putting in more rules and regulations about what kind of milk you can buy. Okay, I'm drinking milk, not soda, but it's too fatty. You need to be drinking 2% and you can't have white Wonder Bread. You can have whole wheat Wonder Bread, which is just as processed and disgusting.
Except they threw some brown stuff in there. Right. Here's some chunks for you.
But that's why I bring that up, because I know that when I was a baby and we were on it, it wasn't that regulated. But when you start giving these government programs room to breathe and grow, it's like a virus.
They never get smaller. They never dry up and blow away.
And it gets more and more and more complicated. And just because this sounds like a good idea on the surface doesn't mean it shouldn't be setting off alarm bells in any well-intentioned parent's brain.
Right. And I'm not saying that the people who are the guys on the committee are not well-intentioned, but I think that they're missing some things.
Right.
That and I said to one of them today, I'm just sounding an alarm where I see a problem. And I'm willing to look like a kook.
Yep.
Because we'll just see. I may not live to see the end of this, you know, how it comes out and whether it turns out as badly as I feel. But I have history. I know some history. And I think we all have had dealings with the government that make us kind of go, ooh, really? Compliance? No. Compliance? Homeschoolers don't want to, we don't need no stinking compliance.
Well, the two words you really have to look out for nowadays with the government is compliance and unity.
Mm.
Those are, which would be great words.
At least that wasn't in here.
If they
you
weren't
will be
being
assimilated,
said by the
resistance is futile.
Yes.
I just wanted to say, I'd forgotten about when we did the WIC thing, and I think at that point I was like an E2 or an E3.
Yeah, it was terrible.
With a wife and three kids.
In the Army, by the way. Anybody who doesn't know what that means.
Yes, U.S. Army. And they talk about people on, what's the minimum wage, need to be making a basic income.
A
here I was
wage.
Serving our nation on foreign soil, and after being in for 10 years and just making E6, although I never pinned that on, we still qualified for, although we did not take them, food stamps. And at that point, they were also talking about, you know, we need to increase the minimum wage, need to increase the minimum wage. And we're all there looking at each other because we're working 60, 70, 80 hour weeks. And on deployments, it was worse. Thinking, we'd love to have a minimum wage.
Because
what
overtime,
wage we got.
Overtime.
What wage we got is a minimum, that's for sure.
But, I mean, this is a totally separate topic, but the true mentality of the Army at the time was, we didn't issue you a family, we don't have to pay for one.
It hasn't changed. Well, probably.
The not. Air Force has.
We're talking military here.
Thank you. So part of the reason this is such a big deal to Diane and I specifically, obviously everybody in this room has some feelings about it. Diane homeschooled me for 7 years, has homeschooled other people's stray cats.
Tutored them. Oh, well, tutored. Yes, I did.
No, you passed a couple.
I did.
I'm homeschooling my kids. This is something, education is something that we believe in very strongly, but also protecting our children is something that we believe in very strongly. And it seems like there's a giant shift in the entire public school system. It was almost laughable to us when people would be like, hey, you know, how are you doing with the lockdowns? How's the homeschooling going? And people were asking me that didn't realize that I had been homeschooling before this. It's not a big deal to me that we're locked down because this is all day, every day of my life on purpose. I chose that. But many, many more people after the lockdowns and mandates and all that stuff started looking for alternative forms of education for their kids, because once they pulled their kids out of the public school system because they were shut down, they realized, hey, little Johnny over here is doing a lot better because he's not sitting in a room where he's distracted by all of these other runts. He's doing really well with online learning or this tutor that we found him or whatever. So school choice has been something that's kind of been rattling around in the cage for a long time. But now it's not just more interesting. It's more urgent and it's more vital to start coming up with other ways for kids to be educated.
Right. Because part of that is many of the people who did pull their kids and thought, oh, hey, let's just homeschool or distance learning will be wonderful, are finding out that their kids are not thriving there.
Right.
This online school is wanting my kid to sit at a computer 7 or 8 hours a day. And you don't do that in public school. They can't keep kids in their desks for 7 or 8 hours. Much of public school, what happens during the day is moving people from one place to another, bathroom breaks, drink breaks.
Chattel.
There may be kids who thrive on not having to go to school and doing their school at home, but there are other parents who are going, oh my goodness, I have to have this kid home all day, every day. That's really not ideal for me. So what else could I do?
So one of the sites that I found this week is called schoolchoiceweek.com. Right on their front page, there's a little thing you can click on that says, what is school choice? And it has several big tiles that you can click on and explore some different options. All of these are becoming more and more available in Wyoming. One that's not listed here is called Alternative Schools, where it's kind of run under the public school system, but it's like a satellite school almost. It's off campus. It's much smaller classrooms, and it's for more like
kids
troubled,
who aren't thriving in regular classrooms.
That are labeled troubled students, but probably they're just too smart for their own good. Joe's waving. because you were smarter than all of your teachers, which got you in a lot of trouble. So that's one that's not listed here, but you can look at traditional public school. Everybody is pretty familiar with what that is. There's also charter schools. Charter schools are state funded, but they operate under their own charter or their own set of rules or guidelines. They cannot be religious. They're more like guidelines, really. They cannot be religious schools because there's still the whole separation church and state, and they are getting state funding. So some of them are secretly Christian schools. But they can't actually say that out loud. So there's also a thing called magnet schools, which is, again, part of the public school system. It's more like a satellite school. But the idea is you take a student who's not... This is going to blow your mind. Some kids are not good at all of the subjects because they naturally gravitate toward one.
Huh?
Isn't that weird? Did you know that?
No.
Okay. P.E.
That's sarcasm.
P.E., that was mine.
So there are more and more magnet schools opening up all over the country, and I think that Wyoming even has a few, where they're taking kids out of the regular public school system, putting them in this magnet school where they focus primarily like on medical training or the arts or something like that. So they're still getting a fairly well-rounded education. They still have to do math and history and science and all that stuff, but it's much more like a...
Vocational
or fine arts school.
Apprenticeship?
Something like that. No, they're not. They're not apprenticing. Okay. They're just focusing more heavily on a certain bent. Okay. So any of the other subjects that they're in, they're focused more on one kind of thing, like the arts.
A scolio school.
Scolio.
Also private schools. Private schools are private. They're not government funded. They are paid for by people that want to fund them, so they have the right to be whatever they want. Their Christian schools have to be private schools.
Right, and just in the statute where homeschools are hardly regulated. Parochial schools and private schools are in there also, and there are very few regulations that apply to them.
Because they're not getting government money. Let's make that point one more time, just to wear everybody out. There's also a lot of online school options. There are more and more all the time, like we said, because of the pandemic. And then there's homeschooling. You can be a homeschooler and also be in an online program. There are online homeschool programs where you're still your parents' teacher, but somebody else has already constructed
your
the curriculum.
Parents cool. are teaching
oh.
About time, Mom.
See, I'm still being corrected.
I taught my dad everything he knows.
About the old 1-2. So you are still your child's teacher, but someone else has already built the curriculum and set up the quizzes and tests and all of that stuff that's sometimes too tedious. But then there are the weird homeschoolers like Diane and me who just make everything up as we go. We don't operate by a certain curriculum. We might get books that we kind of pick and choose from, but for the most part, we just learn things alongside our kid.
I know, it's weird.
Weird, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
If the blind leads the blind, they'll both fall into the ditch.
Well, we're not exactly making up the things that need to be learned. Accumulating our own resources, doing our own research. We don't need tests and worksheets. And what else don't we need?
Well, we follow a more classical education outline. And the focus, instead of on learning all kinds of information, is the focus is on how to learn so that learning can continue even after we kick them out of the house.
Right. What's the goal of a basic education?
If you're talking about what the founding fathers wanted to do, is they wanted to have an educated, informed populace.
Right, because you can't have...
And virtuous.
And virtuous,
you cannot have a free society without that. So in order to maintain our freedom, we have to educate our children in why the system is the way it works, how it works. This presumes that all of us have already gone through that education, are able to function as a decent member of society.
That's kind of judgmental, don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's part of the theme around here, right?
Yes.
But that's the goal. And if we are presumed to be decent members of society, and nobody wants to take that away from us yet, then you ought to be able to, through assimilation, train up a child in the way that he should go. And school, from a homeschooler's perspective, is not something that you start at 9 in the morning and you end at 3 in the afternoon. It is a way of life. As that child begins to get hungry for information, you give him information. When that child begins to process critical thinking, you challenge him, you develop him. When he begins to want to understand how to discover things for himself, you give him the tools to go find what he needs. That's education.
And all along, you are teaching them the difference between right and wrong.
Yes. That is not expensive. That is simply life.
It's almost boring how cheap it is. Because there is a part of me that when the school year comes around again every September, yes, because I don't believe in starting school in the middle of August, because it's still summer.
Right.
School for us starts at the beginning of September, and I wish that I had a whole list of things that I got to go out and buy, like new pencils and erasers and sniffing erasers and crayons and all that other stuff. That seems really exciting and fun, and I understand why teachers want more stuff in their classrooms, but it's almost tediously cheap.
For a couple hundred years, we got by with a Bible and a ruler. And maybe a piece of chalk.
And the ruler was just for whacking the students. It wasn't even for measuring.
It served a number of functions, but it was a handy little number line.
I think the most important part of a public school system is recess.
Yes.
Because it teaches you how to interact with other human beings. It teaches you limits. It teaches you what you can and cannot do in life. And whenever you sit down in the classroom, somebody like me especially, I had no business in there. I had no business in there learning next to...
anybody who wanted to learn.
Yeah, anybody that wanted to learn. Because it wasn't built for people like me.
No.
And it wasn't built for a lot of young men. So
I don't want this to sound arrogant, but I'm on the other side of the spectrum. I was bored silly in school the entire time I was there. And when I first started out, like the first 2 or 3 years, I never got anything less than an A. I never missed a spelling word. And then I just got, this is dumb. And by the time I was in high school, I'm pulling down a solid C or D.
You did better than I did.
You didn't even go.
I went to public high school, if you would so recall.
Oh, she was there a lot.
I graduated with a 2.795 GPA. Thank you very much.
Talent.
Which reflects very badly on my parents. That was totally my choice.
I graduated straight F student. Straight F.
You graduated?
No.
I was going to say, usually you don't get to.
We might edit this part out because it kind of is self-defeating for our purpose.
One thing I wanted to say about what he said is that about recess being so important is part of the problem with that is not that I would quibble that recess is important and the things that you said about learning your limits and that kind of thing, except that in public school, kids are constantly separated into age groups. So you might know how to function within a group of people your own age, but what about the older ones and the younger ones?
Right.
And that's one of the things that homeschoolers learn. In our little school, we had like a two-room schoolhouse, and sometimes I was teaching kindergarten through third grade in one class, and then fourth through eighth would be in the other. And those kids learned how to teach each other. The little kids looked up to the big kids and wanted to be like that, and the big kids learned how to help the little kids rather than kicking them out of the way like a fly.
And they could speak to an adult, any of
them. Oh, yeah.
Well, and I think I kind of prove a point. I think I'm the only person here that was not homeschooled. Were you homeschooled?
Oh, no. No, only she.
Oh, okay. But you guys did homeschool your kids, and you saw the results of that.
Right.
And Sarah is homeschooling her kids, and she's seeing the results of that. I am a product of the public school system. I was failed miserably. There is no – whenever the government – says, okay, this is the way that it needs to be, and then everybody follows what the government says and says, okay, this is the way that it needs to be. People get left out of that. In a homeschool situation, I probably would have done much better. For one, I could have taken a break and said, you know, I need a break. You know, I'm going to go have a cracker or something. So
find some kid on the street to beat
up. I don't think that, like Ken said, that it's defeating the purpose of saying so. Right? People have struggles in public school systems because it's set up to indoctrinate you into being something that not everybody is.
And this doesn't mean that there's some big, we probably sound like this, but there isn't some big sinister force trying to take all of our children for us besides Satan himself.
Oh, okay.
Like, we're not saying that the people involved in the public school system are trying to take our children or whatever, but there is this sort of insidious undercurrent of, look, the best possible person on the planet to teach my children is me. I'm the one that taught them how to walk, how to eat, how to go in a toilet, how to do anything that they didn't just naturally figure out. I was there to teach them because they've never been to school. They've never been to daycare. I have been their primary teacher. If they can learn all of those things from me, they can also learn reading, writing, and arithmetic from me. And there's nobody better on the planet to do that than me. So how I see fit to teach my children, especially because I have four and they're all completely different, they're all going to need different things, I cannot, will not allow any school system, public, private, whatever, to tell me how to set things up for my children. If I pick a curriculum at the beginning of the year and I submit that to the school system and we get into October and we're banging our heads on the walls going, this doesn't make any sense, this is not working for us, I have the right, as their mother, as their teacher, to say, we're going to chuck this away and watch some science videos on YouTube or something like that. And when you allow the system to have some say over what you do, you give up your right to give your child what they need, which you know better than anybody else. And I will always preach that until I'm blue in the face. And a couple people might be listening.
And some of those things in the beginning of life, like you were saying, like using the bathroom and all of this stuff, those are some very difficult things to learn. It's very obvious whenever you go into a public toilet. That
Not everybody
is teaching their kids how to pee properly.
Right. But if a parent can teach those things that are very difficult to learn, they can teach them math.
Yeah.
And you only have to be one step ahead of your student. But that's why we bring up this whole thing, and that's why we bring up school choice, because Diane and I especially will always advocate the rights of parents to have a say over their child's education, even if that means that you decide that for this year, little Timmy is really struggling and education is not the focus. Character development is the focus, and you chuck the whole system. We have your back.
If you know how to do something yourself, you can teach your child.
Yes.
And
even if you don't know how to do it, you can figure it out.
Yeah,
right.
But what you just said about about being, you only have to be one step ahead, there's some truth in that. But the theory is that by the time you're having your own children, you've already been educated.
Right.
Therefore, you already know how to do those things. One of the reasons that a lot of people are intimidated by homeschooling is they didn't learn it themselves.
Right.
You ask them to sit down.
But that's part of the fun of it. I get to go back from the absolute square one in math and grammar and all of this stuff that my mom did a brilliant job of doing.
But not math.
Well,
don't lie.
You did your best. So, but I get to go back from the very beginning. There's no way that you can retain all of that information. But what you did right was you taught me how to learn, and now I'm going back with my kids, and there are some days where I sit there and say, you know what, we're going to memorize all 50 states. I never did this because I was a strong-willed child and I refused to do it, and so I'm going to do this right along with you. Don't look at me like that.
I'm just wondering if you could tell me what's half of 5/8.
No, and I won't, because you were so mean about it.
She wouldn't tell you if she could.
I'm not there yet in my kids' math. But I will get there, and I'll call you, and I'll be like, that's what half of 5/8 is.
2 1/2 8ths.
D.
I just did a project at work where I had to build some ramps, some wheelchair ramps, that are on a sloped floor. There had to be a particular incline for the ramp portion of it. And basically every board that we were cutting was on four different angles. So you have to have some spatial understanding there. And then we have these big, long, curved pews that had to go beside them, and to try to figure out how long it needs to be at the front of the pew versus how long it needs to be at the back of the pew, I had to set up some algebraic equations. And the guys that were there with me, they understand spatially the concepts. But if I pull a tape and I'd pull it from here to here and from here to here, and then you give me any information or any length that you want the thing to be in one point, and I'll tell you what it has to be in all the points. And they looked at me like I was from outer space. How do you do that?
You're like Sherlock Holmes with all the numbers in the air around
I'm thinking,
you.
How do you function? How do you function in your job without understanding basic algebra, basic geometry?
A lot of really smart kids have faked it through. There's two of them in this room. Yeah, I know all 50 states. And my multiplication table?
I mean, I'm not going to tell you right now.
We don't have time.
That story about Seth standing in line, and the teacher is telling each child as they come up to her, or count as far as you can. Yeah.
How far can you count?
How far can you count? So kids were, I can count to 100. Okay, show me. 1, 2, 3, 4. Seth gets up there. How far can you count? 10?
Because it makes sense. Why do I need to show you how far I can count?
Yeah. He was already bored out of his mind.
We're
going
to be here all day.
Yep. We've talked about this bill because it is very near and dear to our hearts. And because, like Diane said, there isn't necessarily anything wrong with this bill, but it's raising red flags. And we're trying to raise some alarm bells so that people think very carefully before allowing government systems into their lives.
There is something wrong with the bill from the very foundation of it. And that what it does is create more government.
Yes.
We fundamentally have enough. And frankly, I'm kind of shocked at some of the sponsors.
Yes.
And
well,
I will be talking
all
to
I'm
them.
Saying is that it's not a bill that is written in order to come after homeschoolers. I mean, we have fundamental
but
issues.
But it does set up the stepping stones to come after homeschoolers.
Which is why we go back to that foundation of more government, because more government will always take more and more freedoms away.
What it does is let the camel get his nose in the tent.
That's right.
Wow, can I use that one?
Oh my gosh.
Under the tent.
So at this point, we're just going to go around the room, give some closing thoughts, and wrap things up, because we've been rambling.
Regarding education, I long for the days that are long since passed and will never be again, when there was no Department of Education. It used to be, in the founding of the nation and shortly thereafter, that the parents of the children got together and said, we need to educate our children. We don't necessarily have the time or the wherewithal for each of us to do it independently, although they were still primarily responsible for the education of their parents. And so they would find someone, hire them themselves.
No, you said of their parents. You did it too.
Yeah, your kids are teaching you too.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Sorry.
Y'all know what I really meant to say. So anyway, they would build a little one-room schoolhouse. Any people in the neighborhood and the community would send their children there if they so desired. And the little school marm, often a little more than a high school student themselves, would begin to educate them. And I remember my grandfather had an eighth grade education. And I remember marveling at the things he had learned and how sharp he was on so many different subjects with an eighth grade education. All that to say, in the interest of improving education, we have been centralizing it and expanding it and throwing more and more money at it. And if you watch how effective education has been in the United States over the last 100 years, it has depreciated exponentially, while the spending has gone up exponentially. There is not a definite correlation between how you spend and how you educate, and there doesn't need to be. I long for the day when something goes wrong, government collapses, and people are actually required to educate their own children for their own good, for the betterment of society.
And to define for themselves what education means.
How I would sum this up is just be vigilant. Just because it's a homeschooling thing and maybe it doesn't affect you in any way, shape, or form, but the government is always trying to overreach. Anywhere that they can get you, they will get you. So be aware of what's going on. If you are homeschooling, it's the same as if you're a gun collector. Just assume that the government's trying to come in and take over.
Wow, that was cheerful.
I'm always cheerful.
But you kind of stole what I was going to say, because going back to how we started with talking about this bill, in the conversation that I was having today with several different people online, I sound like the crazy person. What are you talking about? We're not trying to do the things that you're saying. You might not be. You, Mr. Particular Representative, you, Mr. Teacher, even school administrator, mean no harm. The wording is here to open up all the cans of worms that we were talking about earlier. And so I guess what I would say to the public, keep your eyes open. Listen, study, and know what these things say so that you can understand what they mean by compliance. Who decides when you have complied? There should be some little alarm bells going off in there. So stay awake.
I would close with two things. One is a disclaimer that Joseph might be the exception because of his embittered past. But everybody else in this room, we wholly support teachers. We are a family of teachers. Some of our nearest and dearest friends and relatives are teachers. That anytime we talk about in the Ramble Room anything about education, it has nothing to do with the teachers. It has to do with the bureaucrats and the, I don't even know what they call
the
themselves
system.
These days. Well, Dad said it properly by the Bee Watcher Watchers, which is a Dr. Seuss reference for those of you who came from the public school system. I would just close by saying this is nothing against teachers. This is against the entire system in general. And if you are one of those teachers, our thoughts and prayers are with you. But the other thing that I would say before we close is there are a lot of people, Diane talked about earlier, a lot of people who fought for our rights to do this. But it strikes me as interesting that the Constitution doesn't mention the rights of parents. The amendments don't mention the rights of parents because those are part of the certain unalienable rights. You have the right to make your child's medical decisions, your child's educational decisions, your everything about your child's life. You have the right to take care of your children. You have friends in this room that would be happy to help you make decisions about whatever education moves are right for you and your kids. So there are a lot of resources available. Diane is brilliant. I am treading water, but both of us would be happy to reach out to anyone. This bill is not specifically targeted at homeschoolers, but there are lots of options available for anybody trying to look for alternatives for kids that have been failed by the system. So reach out, find a support group, find information, stay vigilant, stay tuned.